This is Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen from RotoWire here. Happy to talk a lot of hoops, a lot of football. We got play it or pass it today, OKC versus Denver style. Jim Coventry going to hop on the Progressive Guest Line, talk NFL schedule breakdown with us as well. And then we're going to finish off with a little home run props, a very light slate today. Everybody preparing for rivalry week, Nick. It's very big in these quarters here. So only three games on our docket that we'll be able to bet on. We'll also get you caught up on the 3-day games that have already started as well. So we'll do that in addition. But we're going to start off with what happened last night in the NBA. Celtics roar back, beat the Knicks thoroughly in the second half. Weird third quarter where Jalen Brunson got a foul seemingly every other possession. But the Celtics went by 25 and just kind of pulled away late.
Yeah, yesterday, Jeff, we talked about this game going one of two ways for the Boston Celtics. They either rally around the Jason Tatum injury, they use that in some ways to their advantage, or you kind of get down on yourself and you start to look forward and all those thoughts creep into your head. It was certainly the former last night. And, you know, the Knicks, to their credit, this was a tie game at the end of the first half. You see the final result and you think, oh, Boston must have gone up early and just rode the momentum at home. That was not the case at all. And really, it's been the Knicks who've played better in the second half of this series on balance. You know, had some big comebacks, stole a couple of games early on. But the Celtics started hot. You know, we talked yesterday about both Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Those guys are the two biggest beneficiaries statistically when Jason Tatum is out of the lineup. And that certainly rang true. I mean, Derek White came out, hit his first four shots, his first three three-pointers, finished 7 of 13 from beyond the arc, ended up being the leading scorer in the game at 34 points. I think we had that at 9-1 yesterday. Not an official play. Should have made that an official play, Jeff, because he had a feeling there was going to be a Derek White game at some point in the series. Jaylen Brown, also fantastic. Not a guy who's known necessarily for his passing or his playmaking. 12 assists last night for Jaylen Brown. I believe the Celtics assisted on like 90% of their baskets in the first half. Like this was maybe top to bottom the best offensive game of the entire series for Boston. When you look at the shot quality, the shot generation, the contributions for multiple players. And of course, I've already buried the lead here. It was the Luke Kornet game. 7 blocks, 9 rebounds off the bench for Luke Kornet, which kind of overshadowed the bigger point here, which is that Kristaps Porzingis is just not himself. We knew he's been dealing with the after effects of this illness that's been, you know, hampering him for the last 2+ months. I don't know if he can start game 6. I don't know if he can play, right? I mean, he's just getting played off the court almost immediately. And if you're Joe Mazzulla, you know, you want to give Porzingis every opportunity to make an impact. You know the player that he is when he's at full strength. But this doesn't feel like something to me that's going to be solved over the course of 48 hours as we now turn our attention to game 6 tomorrow night.
Yeah, this has been lingering for a while. And Mazzulla's quote was telling. You know, he said Porzingis couldn't breathe. That seems like something that would be a prerequisite for being out there on the court. Obviously, not literally couldn't breathe, but, you know, laboring in his breathing. And, you know, that's obviously something this is ongoing. It's perplexing the medical staff. You got to figure that this is you can't count on him. Anything you get from Porzingis is a bonus. You got to plan ahead, plan accordingly. As bettors, we probably have to plan accordingly, too. Even if he's been, quote unquote, cleared, you got to figure that a relapse could happen Mid-game. And, you know, I wouldn't count on him playing at all.
No, I mean, we don't even have Porzingis props up for game 6. Everything else is up. You know, all the other regular player props are up over at DraftKings, and they're not even listing Porzingis. So I don't know if we get there. Maybe we get some sort of update in the next 24 hours. But I think if you're the Celtics, you just kind of have to set Porzingis aside for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, game 6, what do you know, I know we've got other games to preview, but we're here talking about this game real quick. You know, Knicks are favored, but not by a whole lot.
No, 2.5 is the number for game 6. Obviously, that'll be back at MSG. That is going to be the wildest environment yet with a trip to the ECF on the line. You know, you certainly would expect a better effort out of New York. I mean, you've got to be pretty disappointed. Obviously, the Celtics shot it really well. You know, when you go 22 of 49 from three, you're going to win most of those games and probably do it fairly handedly, but I didn't think the Knicks provided much resistance. I thought this was pretty easily their worst defensive game of the season. I thought Tibbs' rotations, his substitutions were all over the place. You know, obviously you mentioned the foul trouble for Jalen Brunson, but you know, I like the Knicks' chances to kind of take advantage of the Tatum injury and close this thing out. But what worries me is the up and down play from the role players, right? Like if you're not getting that 35 point, you know, all-time type of performance from Jalen Brunson, you need a lot more out of OG Anunoby. You need a lot more out of Mikal Bridges. They got that in game four. Last night, Bridges goes 4 of 14 from the field. You know, I thought he was poor defensively as well by his standards. OG Anunoby, 1 of 12. 1 of 12 from the field. Outside of Josh Hart, who bailed the Knicks out and kept them in this game for a lot of the second half. I mean, your starters really, really struggled. And Karl Anthony Towns, you know, put some lipstick on the pig at the end of this game, padded his numbers a bit.
Yeah.
That was a very poor 19-8. I mean, he got outplayed by Luke Kornet.
He very well did. And I just think this is kind of your classic letdown game. I mean, I told you my theory. It's a little bit like Pacers in game five against the Bucks, where they just came out thinking they had already won the series. And, you know, and sometimes, especially, you know, in the first half was kind of, you know, going more their way. It just when the second things turned south, they were kind of surprised by it there. They're like, oh, they're fighting back on us.
Yeah, no question about it. And I thought the Knicks would be the type of team that would not suffer this kind of letdown. Like, I'm not shocked they lost the game. I am shocked that they lost it in this fashion. I mean, losing by 25,
right?
And only scoring 102 points in a game that did have an elevated pace relative to some earlier games in this series. So yeah, pressure's back on the Knicks now, because if you are New York, you absolutely, absolutely do not want to go back to Boston for that game seven.
Indeed. The Western Conference, the other game last night, Timberwolves advance. They move on to the Western Conference Finals. No surprise here. You know, for most of the game, this was a contest whether or not they were going to cover the 10.5.
Yeah, and it got dicey at the end. That's for sure. Hopefully you got this at 10.5 and not the 11 that was hanging out there earlier yesterday, because, you know, Minnesota, and they've done this a few times in this series, despite winning fairly convincingly, they get a little sloppy late in games. I mean, this was another 20 turnover game for Minnesota, in which they still put up 121 points. I mean, Golden State defensively has just kind of run out of gas as this series went along. And, you know, I think everybody expected a better effort out of Jimmy Butler last night coming out of that quiet game four. I know he got to the line 11 times. He took 11 shots. He played 42 minutes. This was not the type of Jimmy Butler that I think we thought we would see, especially in the second half. You know, you're just kind of waiting while these role players are cutting into the lead, right? I mean, Minnesota would go up 16, 18, 20. All of a sudden, it's back to 12. And you're like, all right, when is Jimmy Butler going to take over? I was really, really surprised the degree to which he was just off to the side. You know, he's hanging out around the basket in the dunker spot. He's just kind of sitting in the corner. It was a lot of Brandon Pajemski, a lot of Moses Moody, a lot of Jonathan Kuminga. Meanwhile, you're watching Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle command the ball, right? Run over to guys, clapping, saying, give me the ball. I'm going to handle this possession. We're used to seeing that from Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. And I think this is just a reminder that this roster at the trade deadline was constructed for Jimmy Butler to be a high level number two, not to be a number one. And at this point in his career, you know, he's not the same guy that he was 3, 4, 5 years ago leading those playoff runs in Miami. I also think you have to look ahead now for the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, congratulations to the Timberwolves. You're in the West Finals. A lot of questions for this Warriors team. Draymond Green turns 36 next season. Jimmy Butler turns 36 before next season. Steph Curry turns 38 midway through next year. You have a big decision to make on Jonathan Kuminga. Anthony Slater, who's covered the Warriors for a long time, actually reported earlier today that the two sides are, quote, expected to pursue a sign and trade this summer, which is interesting. And Kuminga obviously has really reinvigorated his value over the last week.
Yeah, he has. And yet you kind of feel like this is not a marriage made in heaven, that this is a marriage of convenience, that they played him back out there again. He was out of the rotation in the Warriors' most important regular season game in the season finale. Healthy scratch the entire game, and a game that went to overtime. So you kind of see like the writing on the wall that Kerr is not a big Kuminga fan. So I think that's probably wise for Kuminga and his part, his agents to kind of seek this out.
Right. Well, there's a reason that it's being reported the day after they're eliminated that they're seeking a sign and trade, not we'd like to sign him long term. Right. And there will be teams interested. There will be teams interested. I mean, Kuminga looked really good over these last three games, really confident. The explosiveness was there. He's just not really a fit for the quote unquote Warrior system. But at the same time, how many years left of that system do we even have? I don't know.
Right. I think that's a fair question. Fair point. So we'll dig into that. We're also going to dig into the week one schedule. But first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. All right. The schedule release happened last night. Always so many things to talk about. Only things to get entertained by. I want to focus on the week one lines, Nick, and some of the matchups there. First of all, I'm going to pre-rage a little bit here because Chiefs Chargers shouldn't be a game happening in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It should be happening, you know, with real home field advantage. I know the Chargers actually had the right to decline the Chiefs as their opponent for that game and play them instead in LA, but they chose to go ahead with it there. Your reaction?
Maybe that's a team recognizing that it actually doesn't have much of a home field advantage if they play that game in Los Angeles. But yeah, that's been the reporting around this. I think a lot of people were surprised to see that be a divisional game at a neutral site to kick off the season. The Chargers were locked into that game no matter what. They did have some influence as far as who they played. And like you said, they had a choice to say, no, we'd rather play the Chiefs at home. This is technically a home game for us. And they said, bring it on. I like this, man. I like it. I don't see any problem with this. You know, I think, is there a case to be made that you're catching the Chiefs at a good time early in the season? Would you rather play them week one at a neutral site than you would, I don't know, week eight when they've had a little bit of time to gel, get some of these pieces back, reintegrate, you know, someone like Rashee Rice? I have no problem with this at all. And certainly it makes for a better viewership product as we look ahead to that first game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly there. I've noticed as a general trend, one of the things I like to do is set my own lines before looking at the lines, and it's hard to avoid spoilers, but with the exception of Cowboys-Eagles, I was able to do that, so it's kind of a fun exercise. We'll have to talk more about that. We got Jim Coventry coming down the line, the Progressive Guest Line in two segments, but Play It or Pass It coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to RotoWire, and it's time once again for our award-winning. Someone gave us an award. I know it's out there somewhere. Gave us our award-winning segment, Play It or Pass It. And it's NBA style. It's OKC versus Denver props. Let's start off, Nick, with SGA over 29.5 points at -125. Producer Michael Cohen is already all over this, was on Tuesday. Do we go back to the well, play it or pass it?
Yeah, this is a really good number because it feels like SGA all season, really for like the last 2 years, has basically scored somewhere between like 27 and 35 points in every single game. He's not one of those guys that usually has those, you know, feast or famine type of nights where I'll score 16 one night and then 42 the next. It is just a very consistent right around 30 every single game. However, as you look at the series, Jeff, he has gone over this number in all three home games. He's gone well under in the two games on the road. In those two games in Denver so far, he's only averaging 21.5 points per game. He's only shooting 36% from the field. He's one of 11 from three in the city of Denver, Colorado. So this is one that I would approach with some caution. I know it's -125. I know it's a closeout spot for OKC, but for whatever reason, you know, the Denver Nuggets have been able to defend him better at home. I think it's more of a stay away for me. I'm not saying I would bet the under. This one is it's actually up to 30.5, by the way, at DraftKings as I look at it live here, -125 to the under, -105 to the over. So we do have some money coming in on SGA, understandably so. I would rather look at SGA over 12.5 assists plus rebounds. That's been a little bit more consistent throughout this series. And, you know, even the games where he has popped off as a scorer, he's still giving you right around, you know, somewhere between 12 and 15 rebounds plus assist in most of those games. So I'm going to pass on SGA over 29.5 points. I will instead look at that over 12.5 assist plus boards.
All right. Let's move to the other side then. Let's talk about Denver star Nikola Jokic, triple double. It's +210. Play it or pass it.
Oh, man, you know, I love a good triple double bet, especially for Nikola Jokic and especially at +210. But there is a reason, Jeff, that this is sitting at +210 at DraftKings. The points obviously have been there. You know, that's a given. The rebounding has been there throughout this series. But Nikola Jokic does not have more than 6 assists in any game in this series. Hasn't had double-digit assists in any game since game 5 of the Clippers series, by the way. So we're on a pretty long run here. I think Jokic has to be more of a scorer tonight, much like he was in game 5. They're going to need another probably 35-plus point night from Jokic if the Nuggets hope to keep their season alive. And when you dig in on some of the advanced numbers over at NBA.com/stats, Jokic is averaging only 14 potential assists per game, which seems like a lot, and it is for a big man, but that's four fewer per game than he was averaging in round one against the Clippers. It's about three fewer per game than he averaged during the regular season. Five of his 15 lowest assist games on the entire year have come in this series. So OKC continues to do a really good job throwing different looks at him, bringing two guys, you know, using Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein to kind of tag team Nikola Jokic when he has the ball. And on top of all this, the Nuggets are only converting Nikola Jokic assist chances at a 35% clip. So pretty simple math, right? When Nikola Jokic passes and there's a potential assist, they're only converting 35% of those shots. They're shooting just 32% as a team from three in this series. So the value is there, plus 210. You could certainly see Jokic snapping out of that tonight, but the numbers imply that there's just not enough meat on the bone for Jokic as a passer to make this worth it for me.
Yeah, I get that. I get that a lot. I think you're right to be just approaching that one warily, which is a shame because it's always fun to bet Jokic props there. All right, well, let's find a different one instead. Aaron Gordon, over 6.5 boards, minus 135. I think this is one of your favorites all the time. I've seen Aaron Gordon on our show sheet like almost every time Denver plays. Player to pass it.
Yeah, I'm certainly somebody that has pet players and pet props that I like to bet over and over. And this has been one of them. The number's been essentially 6.5 throughout the series. So I will play this one. I think we got a little bit unlucky with Aaron Gordon grabbing only 5 rebounds in game 5. The minutes were there. It was a close enough game. There was no blowout. His total rebound percentage in that game was well below expectation. It was about half of what it's been for this series. So I think that probably comes around in this spot. You know, he's gone over this number in 3 of 5 games in the series, including a 14 and a 16 rebound game. So when he's gone over, he's gone well over. And, you know, part of the reason that the rebounds weren't there, I think, in game the last game, game 5, is that OKC shot 50% from the field, right? They're certainly capable of replicating that, but I think we see more rebound opportunities tonight. I will take the under on 50.5% shooting for OKC in what could be a tight, you know, setting on the road. So I like Aaron Gordon over 6.5 boards tonight. We will play that one.
All right. I like it. I like it a lot. I get some plays in there. Before we got to talk about a couple more player passes, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. All right. Jamal Murray, over 21.5 points. Play it or pass it.
I'm playing this one, Jeff. I'm playing this one. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray has to come through tonight if the Denver Nuggets have any chance to win this game. I think we are back to the point where you can't really depend on Russell Westbrook off the bench. You can't really depend on anybody else outside of Westbrook. They might only play 7 guys tonight. I think it's going to be a very high minute night for all the key players for Denver, including Jamal Murray. In elimination games in his career, Jamal Murray averages 27.8 points per game. So that is a trend that we like here. It has to be him. It has to be Jokic. I think they might have to combine for 70 plus if Denver is going to win this game. And, you know, Murray's been a little bit up and down in this series, a little bit up and down in these playoffs. That's just kind of who he is. But he took 27 shots in game 5, 13 three-pointers. We like that. I think that has to continue. Obviously, you hope that he shoots it better from three. You know, on balance in the playoffs, he's been around 36, 37%, which is fine. Obviously, he's somebody who also plays better at home. So OKC, in my mind, has done a really good job on Jamal Murray. I mean, they are so fearsome defensively, you know, being able to throw Lu Dort at him, being able to bring Caruso and Cason Wallace off the bench. Like, there's no break for Jamal Murray. They're going to make him work for it, but I like the over 21.5 for Jamal Murray. I think, again, if there's any chance Denver wins this game or even keeps it close, you can't get away with Jamal Murray having like a 17-point night.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. I think it's super important there. Last one is for play it or pass it. At least we can talk some other things about this game or the NBA slate, but the most important question, does Denver win? Do they stay alive? Play it or pass it. Nuggets stay alive, force a game 7, plus 150 on the money line.
I intentionally, in my notes, Jeff, have not written down a pick here because I wanted to give myself the maximum amount of time to think about this. Now, the big advantage I would have said for Denver coming into this series, one, they have Nikola Jokic. They're the best player in the series. Two, they have been through these battles to a greater degree than OKC has. And I think early in the series that showed through, particularly in game one, where they you know, go on the road and steal that game with the Aaron Gordon game winner. Over the last two games, the Nuggets are minus 26 in the fourth quarter. They have been unable to close out these close games. How much does Denver have left in the tank? I think that is a concern. You know, can you get another all-world level Nikola Jokic game like you got in game five? Can you get enough contributions elsewhere? These are all big questions. OKC, as the series goes along, I think it's has become clear that they have maybe an even bigger depth advantage than we would have thought coming in. I'm not sure I can get there on the Denver money line, Jeff. I would consider it at 4.5. I think we do get a close game. I would be very surprised if this looks anything like, you know, Knicks Boston last night, where one team is up 20 in the second half. I think this is an all-out effort type of game for Denver, but I don't know if I can get there. I lean on the depth of OKC.
Yeah, I think you're right. I earlier thought, okay, well, Denver's going to do it, but man, they just have looked gassed late in games there. Yeah. I think they also, Denver has really done like a disservice to Minnesota and to the Eastern Conference final team, because they've given these the Thunder these late season situations there where they've gotten better and better at closing out games. I think that's going to serve the Thunder mm-hmm. well late in later series.
I think that's a really good point. You know, I think it's fair to wonder, it's like, all right, you know, does closing out two or three games in a series, you know, all of a sudden just, you know, give you that playoff seasoning that usually it takes years to develop? I don't know. But OKC has not been in many of these situations. That was something they mentioned on the telecast in the last game. And yeah, they're kind of earning their playoff stripes in real time right now in this series. And look, I can tell you for a fact, if you are Indiana, if you're Boston, if you're New York, you are rooting for Denver tonight, which seems crazy that you'd want to line up a potential finals against Nikola Jokic. But I don't think any of those teams want to see OKC advance. And, you know, the Thunder, if they do indeed win tonight or they win game seven, they will be heavy favorites against Minnesota. And I think Minnesota can give them a run, especially if Julius Randle continues to play at this level. I don't think anybody has raised their stock, you know, or their view in the public opinion more than Julius Randle has. But this OKC team playing with home court, going to be really, really difficult to beat.
Yeah, we know Minnesota can get through Denver. They did so last year. So that's probably their preferred path again this year as well. So, hey, big game tonight. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to it there. We're also looking forward to Jim Coventry joining us next, talking NFL schedules here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We had the NFL schedule release last night. The usual fanfare, every team putting their own spin on it. You know, thoughts and prayers with the Indianapolis Colts, who have now somehow landed themselves in hot water, facing some legal trouble. The last thing you want coming out of a schedule release. But in addition to all these schedules, we now have odds out for pretty much every game on the schedule. If you want to go bet a Panthers-Saints Week 13 game, you can go do that at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And of course, we have all the odds out for week one. Never, ever too early to start thinking about NFL week one. And to help us do that, we got Jim Coventry, one of our NFL experts from rotowire.com, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You know Jim from the show. You can find him on Twitter at Jim Coventry NFL. Jim, in light of the schedule release, I know you've already prepared, you know, a bunch of notes on these games you're already thinking about betting. Let's start Thursday night. Cowboys taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champs. This is a home game for Philly. We get the Brazil game on Friday. Chiefs, Chargers, Eagles sitting as 7-point favorites. I already know you have a play on this game. So where do you lean?
Typically, I hate playing divisional rivals, especially this early in the season. But the whole deal here is Dallas has new coaching, offensive line issues. Philly comes in with continuity. And to me, that's usually a bet I like to make. I have a team in Philly that's significantly better in the trenches on both sides of ball over Dallas. That's kind of where it starts, especially early in the year. But like I said earlier, having that continuity, I know Kellen Moore's gone. I am not worried at all about this offense, because the continuity is you hand the ball to Saquon Barkley, you get the offensive lineman pushing downhill, And that's a big problem, regardless of who's calling the plays. So that's where I see the continuity end. But Dallas, yeah, Brian Schottenheimer, first game, new personnel for him, not so much. I think there's an easy Eagles win. Dallas is going to get their sea legs eventually, not here.
Another interesting game, Raiders Pats on Sunday morning. That one, Pats minus 3.5 point favorite, 3.5 point favorites, total of 43.5. I have one strong opinion on that game, but I want to hear yours first.
The beauty of the Patriots is that not do you only bring in Mike Vrabel, but they spent money on veteran players on defense. And we saw a couple of years ago, the Houston Texans used this formula and it worked really well. When you have a training camp without a bunch of young players looking to learn a system, many of these veteran players have seen it all. And across the board, there's very few young players. So that is really going to help Vrabel galvanize this unit together. And I think that's a huge advantage because defenses are usually ahead of the offenses in week one. This team isn't going to have to acclimate a lot while the Raiders are coming in, Chip Kelly, and I still question whether – he can handle in-game adjustments. That was his problem before. In college, you never have to worry about that. In the pros, big problem. He struggled with those both in Philly after his hot start and in San Francisco. So I really think Vrabel outcoaches the Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly duo. And I think the defense sets the tone for the Patriots. And they may not have to score a whole lot of points to cover that line easily.
So my strong opinion, it goes along that line. I set my own lines before I look at the lines, and I had the total at 38.5. I am 5 points under the total right now, so I'm big on the under. You got, you know, usually early on, the offenses sometimes struggle. You've got the Patriots adding a lot of parts here. Maybe their brand new offensive line struggles in week one. The Raiders, who knows what you have offensively there? I really love the under in this one here.
Yeah, that's a fantastic call. And as you mentioned earlier, those early season acclimations, those are problematic. The Raiders, the line on offense is decent, and they have Genty, but it's going to be a work in progress. They have a lot of things to figure out there.
Jim, we do have one total that is sitting in the 30s as of right now for week one. And fittingly, that is Steelers-Jets, presumably the Justin Fields led Jets going up against the, who knows, led Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe not. Steelers currently sitting as 2.5 point favorites. I know this is another game that you already have a lean on. So what do you like in this one?
So I do like the Steelers point spread minus the points. I'm happy to give up points here. The Steelers defense, and again, we talk about continuity, and we definitely have it here, and we know that defense is aging a bit, but they're healthy in week one. We'll assume they're healthy. Hopefully there's no training camp injuries. But if they come in healthy, the Jets offensively, Justin Fields cannot read the football field, so he has to have things schemed up very well. That's going to take a number of weeks. That's not going to be a week one. We have this thing figured out, the certain rollouts they're going to use, the RPO actions. Fields could get some runs broken off here, but overall, I think it's going to be very difficult to sustain offense, even in a home game against the Steelers defense. And then on the other side of the ball, the Steelers have Arthur Smith coaching it up. You've got Caleb Johnson added into the mix with Jaylen Warren. We know that they've invested in that offensive line. Those young players they drafted last year have another year of seasoning. I think they just come in and classically ground and pound. And the Jets were not a good run defense last year. And I think that continues on this year. So I think, as you're saying, low, low scorers, you could go with the under easily. But I also think the Jets will have a big problem scoring. So the Steelers will be able to throttle it down. And something like 17-6, 17-9. I think it's going to be a pretty healthy margin of victory too.
The highlighted game on the schedule, the one with the biggest total, not coincidentally, is Ravens Bills, the Sunday night game. Ravens look like, am I seeing that right? That are a favorite on the road at the Bills, much like they were in the playoff game. I thought I saw it the other way around, but anyhow, 51.5 was the total on that one there. Excited about that rematch. How about you? What take do you have on this game?
Definitely excited about the rematch, and it's going to be interesting because the Ravens organization has always been business as usual, unless they're playing the Steelers. That hate factor there goes through the roof, but they're business as usual, and they're going to see this game as a typical business trip, and I don't know if there's a chip on the shoulder here, but look, in that playoff game, the Ravens really hurt themselves with some big mistakes early. I think when both of these teams are at full power and the Ravens play their game, Lamar, Derrick Henry, the Bills have no ability to stop that duo. On the other side of the ball, however, I do think the Ravens can get enough stops or field goal attempts out of the Bills. I do think the Ravens win this game. I think they get vindication. We can't guess if those same mistakes that'll be there that were there in the AFC playoff game, but I would tend to think not.
Talk about some overall schedule notes with our guy Jib Coventry in just a moment. But first, the Preakness Stakes coming up this weekend. We'll be talking a little Preakness on the show tomorrow. You can get in with First Bet and get rewarded. New customers, if you use the promo code VSIN200, you could score a 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose. You get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet and use that promo code VSIN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet, and make sure you use that promo code VSIN200. All right, Jim, I want to ask you about the San Francisco 49ers, a team that I think I'm a little bit behind market on. You're looking at a win total right now of about 10.5. You know, DraftKings is doing this thing where you can kind of pick your own number, but if you read between the lines, 10.5 seems to be where that's settled. I think the Niners have a great chance to at least get off to a hot start. You get Seattle, New Orleans, Arizona, and Jacksonville. Your first 4 weeks. On paper, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL. Now, that is based on last year's records, which we know, plenty of turnover year over year. But beyond those games that I mentioned, you get Carolina, you get the Giants, you get Cleveland, you get Tennessee, you get Indianapolis out of division. Is that enough to push you toward the over on that 10.5, which is plus 115 right now at DK?
It sounds very tempting. I have massive concerns about the 49ers defense. They have lost players over the last couple of years, and it really came down last year. Dre Greenlaw, the linebacker, is gone. Talanoa Hufanga, the safety, is gone. Charvarius Ward, the corner, is gone. This is a defense with not a lot of depth, and I know they address it in the draft, but this is not that shutdown defense we had. And what we're really counting on is that Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, because he is really the straw that serves the drink on the offense. If he stays healthy, they have a good chance of getting over that. But after last year, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm more likely to fade it, because trusting McCaffrey as the linchpin, that's a problem.
Jim, the Giants went 1-8 at home last year. It doesn't get any easier this year. You look at their teams that they're hosting: MetLife, Chiefs, Chargers, Eagles, Niners, Packers, Commanders, Vikings, Cowboys. I know we got a little bit less than 45 seconds left. Do you see a win there for the G-men?
I am confident they'll beat the Saints. Or no, on the road with the Saints. So they won't beat the Saints.
Yeah.
At home, you know what? No, I don't see it. I don't see it. Do not see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to. It's hard to make a case right now, Jim. I don't know. Some wacky is going to happen in one of those games, and maybe they pull off a win. But that Giants win total currently sitting at 5.5. Real quickly on the way out, Jim, we need an over-under win total on the New England Patriots, who are favored in 11 games this season, numbers 8.5.
You know what? They're winning 9 games. That defense will do enough in the schedule to neutralize teams. Offensively, they're going to have a little bit of their issues. The line's not great, but they got a left tackle. Yeah, they're going to win 9 games. They're going to have a very successful season. They're going to be borderline to make the playoffs.
All right, there we have it. Jim Coventry not only likes the New England Patriots to take care of business in week one, go over that 8.5 win total. You can find Jim's work over at RotoWire. You can find him on Twitter at Jim Coventry NFL. We'll give you some live baseball updates. We'll have our best bets in baseball coming up next here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. We are with you for another 15 minutes, taking you to the top of the hour. As always, Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have Patrick Maher on to give his best bets for both the NBA and the Preakness Stakes. So don't miss that. Jeff, we got to finish out with some Major League Baseball talk and a very abbreviated slate on this Thursday. Bit of a travel day. We got a lot of big weekend series. It's rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball, so only 6 games on the slate today. One of those has already finished up. The Atlanta Braves taking care of business at home against the Washington Nationals. I believe that is now, 8 losses in the last 9 games for Washington. AJ Smith-Shawver picking up the win for Atlanta. The Cincinnati Reds taking it to the Chicago White Sox, 7-1 right now in the bottom of the eighth inning. Really nice outing for Nick Martinez. See if the White Sox can mount some sort of rally here. I'm going to go on record, Jeff, and say I do not expect that to happen. So should be a W for Cincinnati. We also have Twins Orioles in action, bottom of the eighth. Twins leading that one 4-0. Twins been the hottest team in baseball. But Jeff, Byron Buxton, who had a home run earlier in this game, ended up leaving after a collision with Carlos Correa, who also departed the game.
Yeah, Correa looked like to get the worst of it there. He left immediately. Buxton left later in the game, but Buxton initially stayed in. With Correa, for sure, you got to worry about possible concussion. He was making that fencing motion that we hear about so often in football collisions and checking for concussions. So that's really kind of scary stuff. You know, this is almost like Final Destination MLB version. You know, Correa and Buxton colliding with each other, the two guys that are most likely to get hurt to begin with there. I mean, I'm surprised Royce Lewis didn't find his way into it there as well. But yeah, and the shame is, I mean, it's a shame anytime anybody gets hurt. But Buxton off to such a great start, as you alluded to, had that home run 10 on the season for him so far this year. Twins still leading 4-0, and, you know, getting to Orioles' best starter, Sugano, which says more about the Orioles than it does about Sugano, but that they got to him a little bit there also. I mean, just awful times in Baltimore. It makes you wonder, like, is Cedric Mullins or someone like that going to be available on the trade market? Do they, instead of like trading for a pitcher, they're trading for pitching prospects instead?
Yeah, I mean, this could be the ninth loss in 11 games for Baltimore, which has just not been able to find it really on either side, but especially that pitching has been brutal this year. I do want to back up to that Braves-Nats game, Jeff, because we got some time here. Yeah. We only got three games in the afternoon and evening window. So we said Braves won 5-2 over the Nationals. They're back to 500. They're 22-22 on the year. You know, Ozzie Albies is somebody who's been really disappointing this season, especially if you're looking at it through a fantasy lens. Did go 1-for-3 today, but two more strikeouts in just 217 on the year.
Yeah, he's off to a really slow start. Michael Harris is not hitting well. Matt Olson's hitting 214, only slugging 384. You look at that there, and yeah, they're missing some key parts. Know what they did with the lineup today? Albies dropped down to seventh. Drake Baldwin, the rookie catcher, was hitting second, went 3-for-4. He's got the best bat on ball skills on the team, and he's a rookie. It's interesting that they're kind of restructuring their lineup that way. They try to do anything to kind of spark this lineup. Riley drops down to fifth in the order there to try to do what they can. The other key thing, too, is they got the save out of Iglesias. He induced a game inning ground ball double play, allowed one hit in his outing there. So he did give up a base runner at least, but at the same time, you know, this was a really, you know, badly needed outing for Iglesias too.
All right, let's get to the night slate. Just three games coming our way, Jeff, but I know you have some plays for each of those. We will start with Zach Littell going up against Kevin Gausman. Rays Blue Jays in the AL East, Toronto -185 on the money line, total sitting at 8.5. We're going straight to the plus money props here. We're looking at a home run prop, for Vlad Guerrero Jr., Jeff. So what draws you to Vladdy?
Plop some money down on that home run prop. Yes. Yes. So
what do we like here? What's the rationale? Okay.
Zach Littell's allowed 10 homers already this year, including 5 on the road. So it's not just an issue of like Steinbrenner Field or anything like that. He's just been giving up a lot of hard contact and fly balls. I'm going to go Vladdy Guerrero. I think you can make maybe a better case for George Springer in terms of recent form, because Vladdy hasn't hit a homer since May 1st. But all the hard hit data is good. You know, granted, I need him to loft it a little bit more. We'd like to see that. So I'm going to go Vladdy. And originally, I saw the FanDuel prop because DraftKings didn't have one, and it was at 320 on FanDuel. Looking now over at DraftKings, the DraftKings Sportsbook, you're finding better odds over there now for that. So I'd probably go that way instead with Vladdy at +425 over at DraftKings. Springer, by the way, +450 if you're looking for a prop, someone other than Vladdy to homer for the Jays.
All right, I'm rattled now, Jeff. I'm rattled after saying plop instead of prop. You are indeed watching prop points here on Visa, not plop points. Astros yes. Rangers tonight. We got Texas -130 on the money line. Low total here at 7. Mm-hmm. And that is because of the pitching matchup. Hunter Brown going up against Jacob DeGrom.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, this is an interesting one here because You know, you look at the batter versus pitcher data. I'd recommend not leaning on that too heavily. I don't think it's always that fruitful, all that instructive. But in the past, the Rangers have gotten Hunter Brown to the tune of a 920 OPS historically against him. But I don't think that applies. First of all, I think Brown's a better pitcher. I think that's the obvious part of that here. Plus, the Rangers lineup's just not hitting. I know Jake Berger is back. That might help a little bit. But no Corey Seager. You look at just that this lineup as a whole, 27th in the league in WOBA against right-handed starting pitching, against right-handed pitching, period. So I'd throw away the BVP data. I'd back Hunter Brown. I like the under 1.5 earned runs by Brown at +105. I think you could do a variety of different things there. Also, I kind of like backing Jacob DeGrom on this one, too, in the strikeouts. Houston's really still not hitting all that well, especially against righters. No Yordan Alvarez in the lineup. That's been something that's been holding them back all along. Very right-handed heavy lineup for Houston. So I'm going to take the over on the DeGrom K props as well at over 6.5 at +105.
All right, final game of the night, the Athletics and the Dodgers. This has been a fun series so far. We got another big total tonight up at 10. Dodgers -205 on the money line. What are we looking at here? Jeff, are we going right to that total? Do we dare take the over at 10?
Dare. I'm going to have you do that there. Yes. I'm going to take the over at -105. Matt Sauer getting the start for the Dodgers. First start, he's been a reliever before, a bulk reliever, but I don't think he goes deep in this game. And as Osvaldo Beto, he's got a 4.75 ERA, but he's worse than that, a 1.51 whip. I know he had one particularly bad outing. He's also allowed 9 homers this year in just 8 starts. Ticking time bomb alert. I think we go with the over on this one.
All right. I like it. There we have it. Jeff Erickson's best bets for an abbreviated Major League Baseball slate. You can find all of our picks each day over at VSiN.com. All right. We got a little bit of time here, Jeff, before we get to our GBank best bets of the night. You know, we talked about some of the big headliners coming out of the schedule release. We got to keep things local here. What did you make of the Bengals schedule, the way things break down?
I've read things saying that they got a good early schedule, and yes, they start off with the Browns, but the Bengals are terrible in week one, so I'm not even so sure about that. Jags in week two, grudge match there between you and I. Vikings and Broncos on the road after that, that's no piece of cake. And later on, starting in week 12, they have this nasty stretch: home game against the Pats, the juggernaut that is Michael's Pats, at the Ravens, though, on Thanksgiving night. They never get the primetime home game. It's always on the road, of course. Biggest game of the year, and it's on the road on Thanksgiving night. Then at the Bills, and then finally a home game against the Ravens. So huge stretch beginning in week 12 for the Bengals. They're going to have to get their work done early because that's a really tough stretch.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I came out okay on the Jags schedule. You know, just having a winnable game in week one, we'll take that. They're 3.5-point favorites at home against Carolina. A little battle of the big cats. They do get your Bengals, another big cat on big cat matchup in week two. But after that Panthers game, Bengals, Texans, Niners, Chiefs in consecutive weeks. Got to find a way to win at least one or two of those games, or we could be heading down that same road once again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's time for our GBank best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank. You can get the GBank Visa signature card today, right now, in fact. Most credit cards, as we know, treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you put your own money on the card. But GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases. So you're saving 3 to 5% on cash advance fees and gaming transactions right there. Plus, with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions. And you're getting 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. All right, Jeff, we're going a little bit off the reservation here. Your best bet of the night, an NFL Week 1 play already.
Yes, under on the Jets and Steelers, a potential double revenge game between Justin Fields and maybe Aaron Rodgers. We'll see. It could be Mason Rudolph. Who knows? You know, throwing to Calvin Austin as the number two wide receiver. Struggling, retooling offenses there. I'll take the under. My line was 37.5.
All right. I like that, especially if it is indeed Mason Rudolph out there for the Steelers. I'm going to the NBA, as I am one to do. Jamal Murray, over 2.5 threes tonight. Like that one a little bit more than the points. +135. Feels like a very reasonable price over at DraftKings. That's going to wrap it for us here on Prop Points Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Coming up next, we're going to have Bill Finley joining us tomorrow to talk some Preakness. So join us at 2 p.m. Eastern.